Hey guys, Andrew here with Masters in E-commerce and Messaging Marketing. And I want to have a special guest with us today. Today is Natasha Kahashi. Sorry.
Close enough.
Close enough. Sorry. She is awesome. I don't know if you've seen her around she's everywhere pretty much. She is the host of There's a Bot for That, founder of School of Bots, also got an agency that builds, I don't know, 80 plus, you know, 80 plus bots built out there or something like that. I've said or heard. And she's got an upcoming, she's going to be speaking at an upcoming conference, and she's just everywhere. So if I missed anything on that, fill in the audience.
No worries. Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff. Been speaking at, gosh, I think I've spoken like 20 places now this year so far. So I won't bore everyone with the details, but I think you pretty much captured most of what I'm working on right now.
Cool. So give a little background of like how you got into this whole space, sure. What you were doing prior to bots, and, you know, let's see, that, sure, the audience would love to know.
Yeah, so I got, I guess I started my career in the tech startup world, and that's where I thought I would always be, was a tech startup CEO, raising funding, you know, doing that whole stereotypical Silicon Valley thing, and I loved it, but then I read the 4-Hour Workweek, I started going to all these personal development conferences, and kind of got suckered into that whole world of like financial freedom, and location freedom, and time freedom, right? And of course, I was vulnerable and naive and whatnot, so I fell for a couple things. But nonetheless, I think it was good to get my momentum going that I wanted to be an online entrepreneur and be in the digital marketing space and be able to help people through community and whatnot. So I started my chatbot agency right when Facebook Messenger opened up their API to bots. And okay, for those of you guys who are not familiar with APIs, don't worry too much about what that means. Just worry about the fact that Facebook Messenger bots officially started in April of 2016, or were available to people like us to build. So as soon as that came out, I had already been planning to start a Facebook ads agency since I already had a few clients and I was working on Facebook ads and other digital marketing stuff for the tech startups that I worked with. And when bots came out, it just kind of made sense for me to pivot entirely to bots and see what I could do with that. And this was actually my first business as well, the agency. Okay. So I was like, okay, well, it doesn't really matter if this fails or not. I just want to see if I can make this work. And it did. For the first few months, it was pretty shitty. I think just like with any business, you know, you're struggling to get clients, you're trying to figure out what your business model really looks like, all of those pieces, and what's actually going to work. And in this new market, it was a lot more difficult. Obviously, I'm biased and I have no previous experience of starting a company in another industry, but based on all the companies I worked with before, I feel like disrupting an industry is almost easier than starting out. There's like pros and cons to starting out in a new place, whereas, you know, disrupting a 100-year industry. So sure, with bots, you know, it's very unclear at the beginning who's going to be a great target market. What are people actually going to want as products and services in this industry? Who are all the roles, you know, investors, educators, service providers, platforms? So it was definitely the Wild West. It still is. And so the agency I started right at the beginning and started to see everything unfold. We, like you mentioned, we built close to 90 bots now, and hopefully going to get to 100 so we can just have that milestone and then either merge the agency with what we're doing now or sell it off, try to figure out what we want to do with it. Because about 6 months ago, we started School of Bots. And I know you mentioned a little bit, you know, we have our There's a Bot for That interview show. We've got a template marketplace. We actually, fun fact, that just happened today. We launched the Template Vault today, which is a membership to get access to our templates each month.
That's awesome.
Usually, yeah, I'm really excited for it because people buy, like on average, people buy 3 to 5 templates from us each month, like individuals. Oh, okay. And so it kind of makes sense to give them a discount and a little bit more exclusivity and support and whatnot for that. So go check that out, guys, if you guys are interested in templates. Although I guess you might see this later, so we'll see. But yeah, so started School of Bots, and then now really my position in the bot world is attempting to facilitate different parts of that ecosystem that I mentioned, so that we can really help push the space forward together. And working with you guys, working with other platforms in the space is really helping us do that at a faster rate.
Right. So when you started the agency, I mean, how did you even like get your first client? Like what was the sales pitch like to people like that was brand new to this thing?
Yeah, it was a terrible sales pitch. So my business partner Kyle, he does all of our sales stuff. And he had come from an entirely sales background, whereas I have a different approach. I like to become someone's friend and, have the best intentions, and be positive and whatnot. Sales is not always like that. So I would say I am not the best saleswoman, although at the beginning, we both did our fair share of hopping on sales calls, sending out that on them cold emails, and I think the main three ways that we were getting client or talking to attempting to get clients was going to conferences in specific industries, cold calling and cold emailing. So we were cold calling local businesses, trying to set up meetings with them in person, and then cold emailing people, around the country. So we did that, and then our first clients honestly came from what we had been working with before, or who we had been working with before for Facebook ads. It was just kind of like trying to upsell them and create case studies out of that. So we didn't really charge too much for it. I think we may have we did definitely some for free, and also did a couple for $100 or a couple $100. So it was really all over the place, just trying to figure out what. How much should we be charging? One, two, what type of results can we actually get people? And three, how many clients can we take on a month? Because what does this bot service even look like? So those are the things we aim to solve within like the first 3 to 4 months of the business. And then what really helped us grow a lot more, and at a faster pace increasingly from there was actually partnering with other digital marketing agencies and having them send us clients and us provide the white label bot solution for them.
I see.
That we could be their entire bot arm. And then it went both ways because for us, and for a lot of people, I think you may start your agency with offering one to two services, and then slowly your clients are like, hey, can you also do this for me? Can you do this for me? So we started entirely as bots, and having those partners allowed us to not really shift our focus away from bots and having to say, oh, yeah, I guess we can do, content creation for you. I guess we can do Instagram for you. And so instead, really allowed us to focus and then outsource that to our partners. And then, of course, they were using us for bots. So it definitely went both ways. And yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of how we started our sales process and what we were doing at the beginning. And I think, honestly, it's still kind of the same right now, even though we're over 2 years in. It's still definitely the Wild West. There's still so many different ways that you can get clients, but partnerships for sure are just a great way, I think, in general, for any type of agency, no matter what you're doing, to grow at a faster rate and just close clients quicker, because that's really the goal is to just have that cash flow coming in each month as an agency.
So when you were doing those partnership type of deals, was it more so on the sense that you would just reach out and saying, hey, do you guys do this? And would you be interested in learning a little bit about this kind of stuff when you're trying to formulate those partnerships?
Yeah, we did a little bit of outbound for sure and positioned it in that way. We also, so our first partnership, how this whole thing came about and became such a big part of our agency was because someone reached out to me on LinkedIn and wanted to essentially create a chatbot agency where they were just the sales front and they wanted us to create all the bots for them. So if you're looking at it as a bot agency, you're like, well, that's not really a bot agency, but they just wanted to do the sales side of things and not have to worry about building the bots. So we started as that. And then that went well to where we decided to reach out to a couple other agencies and pretty much did what you mentioned. Like we reached out in a couple different Facebook groups. So we, even up to now, our best partnerships have been with Facebook ad agencies, social media management, and content creation and design. And SEO and other ones are great, but those were the ones that made the most sense
It made most sense.
for bot services.
Because I see a lot of people out there, it's like, build a bot for $1,000 or $2,000 and things like that. Do you find that you think that if you're getting into this space, it's best to specialize or be a generalist?
Yeah, so let's put it more into context in terms of like who you should prospect or what you should be doing.
So like if you're like you've got you basically know about gyms or athletics or something like that kind of stuff, right? Do you just focus in on doing gyms or real estate or things like that and just become that person known in that field?
I think historically in the agency world, that's what people have had the most success with. Mm-hmm. However, I think when it comes to bots, because it is really a like holistic service that is not just for marketing, but if you use it to its full advantage, it can really infiltrate and improve a company's sales and operations as well. Because it's such a holistic product and service to a business, I think that it makes the most sense to be a little bit more general and be open to opportunities in other industries that you may have not set out to prospect in, because that's totally what happened to us. Of course, it was a little bit more unconventional because we weren't going after like 20 different industries, but our partners were each, as I mentioned before, stereotypically, you know, like they had their specific demographic that they were going after, whether it was, you know, franchise restaurants or e-commerce shops doing a certain number of sales or revenue each month, whatever it was, or number of followers online, you know, they each had their own specifics. And so we were open to all of those different demographics coming in. But if you are just doing direct sales and not, you know, working with partners at the beginning, then I'd say trying to focus on 2 to 3 niches / industries, I think, is a good start. And doing each one at a time is probably the best, because otherwise you overload yourself. But still having the long-term outlook that I am open to creating bots in multiple industries, not just gyms, not just restaurants, not just e-commerce.
Sure. So that brings me a question, like, okay, so what makes a good bot funnel? Like what is it? It can't be always kind of sales, right? So,
right.
You know, for engagement, things that like your clients are looking for or people should be looking for, what is that?
So I think the best way to kind of frame that is to think about bots in the same, or bot interactions in the same way that a lot of ad agencies look at it. So when ad agencies go into, you know, create the foundation for ad campaigns, they usually have their like omnipresent / content ads, which don't necessarily have a direct CTA, right? It's not like, hey, go buy this. It's more of like, hey, check out this content. And then the second type is usually conversions, which is entirely sales, like, hey, get this discount code, this items running out, you know, scarcity, whatever it is that they do to get that sale in that ad, and then retargeting for people who went to the sales page or whatever it was, each part in that funnel. So when you look at it in that way, I think having those steps inside of a bot funnel is very important. And what we try to do with our approach is do these things in the following order of marketing, sales, and operations. So that we really start the first month or two, depending on how big the company is, how big their lists are in other outlets, we will just focus on building their messenger list and really nurturing that audience, giving them extra valuable content. And one of the requirements that we have for working with clients is that they create a lot of regular content and have a lot of content already that we can just repurpose inside of the bot.
Okay.
It's fairly easy. Like one example would be, someone is creating awesome email content every day, there's no reason why we can't repurpose that into bot-friendly content where it's a little bit shorter and more interactive, but it's still the same content, the same copy and everything, but it's just in a little bit different format. That makes our lives a billion times easier because we're not a content creation agency or copywriting agency.
It's a lot of work.
Those things. Yeah, exactly. And that's where the whole, like, you know, what services do you focus on and not try to like get pulled in all these different directions. Right. Comes in. But yeah, to kind of get back to what makes a good messenger funnel, I think it really is having those three steps in that funnel and also being able to share a lot of that valuable content and then bringing in the sale at the right time. An example of that would be there's a fantastic fitness bot solution. It's called Jolt.ai. And they partner with gyms, or not partner, take them on as clients, but partner, I guess, in a sense, where the members of the gym can talk to Jolt every day and have it be like a personal accountability buddy. And it also tracks, you know, all of their activity, you know, what they've done each day, what they've eaten. And then there's all these really cool personalization features as well, like what type of voice it's talking to you in over the chat. And, you know, it gives you all these great graphs and fun things. So So that is a great example of something where you're nurturing, nurturing, nurturing every day. And then say you haven't talked to Joel in 3 or 4 days, but you were talking to it consistently for a week or every day for a week, right? So then after those 3 days, Joel may send you a message and say, hey, it looks like you haven't been working out. You know, what's up? You may type something back to it like, oh, I've been sick, or, you know, I've been on vacation. And it says, well, you know, if you want to get back on track, here's a discount for a personal training session. Right. And then that's where you can make the sale, because it's at the exact right time where someone could potentially be considering that.
Right.
So that's an example of, you know, the right offer at the right time. And then, of course, that's totally different for each business, but just an example. And I think when you can do that in the funnel and then have other upsells that come along, you know, as you're nurturing someone, depending on what the campaign looks like and whatnot, I think that is like the ideal messenger funnel. Now, that was a little long, but
that's super helpful. So how would you apply, say, to if you were an e-commerce store, right? I mean, you don't want to constantly sell, but at least, you know, if you've got, you know, say you're a home improvement or I don't know, a kitchen store, right? Would that be kind of the same thing with the content? Here's a great recipe. Here's a great thing. Oh, you know, and you kind of use this for, you know, basting the chicken kind of thing. And then here's that sales type of thing.
Yeah, I think, so this is actually something I talked about yesterday on another Andrew Cruzy's video, which I think you watched as well.
Yes, I did.
An interview in his group. A lot of people in his group do e-commerce and drop shipping. Or, you know, work with e-commerce stores.
Right.
So this was a pretty important topic for them as well. And I think the best answer that I can give is that an e-commerce store, before they launch a bot, does need to have some content in line and have a future plan to be creating consistent content, even if it's just like once a month. That's really minimum. If a company is not doing that and they're not active about growing their brand and interacting with their customers all the time, then a bot is not going to help solve that any more than not having content is. And that's where, again, that whole idea that, or not idea, but issue for bot agencies comes in, that if an e-commerce store doesn't have any content, then we now either need to create content or say, sorry, we can't do this bot service for you because we don't have anything to work with. So I think that's one of the biggest requirements that e-commerce companies should have before a chatbot agency works with them. Otherwise, this channel will not work for them. But at the same time, I think even, you know, like, again, on the flip side, right, like, I think there's definitely an urgency to be stated that any e-commerce store right now should hook up to Jumper.ai, should have a bot immediately, even if they're not using it to its full extent. At least being able to capture people who are messaging you, and then maybe even just setting up like delivery and like update notifications without it being a conversational experience just yet is still important to have, just because it makes the experience a lot better than email does in any other channel. But when running campaigns and doing a lot more with the whole, you know, nurture then sell, teach then sell model, it's going to be really important to have content in line first.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. A lot of these guys who do drop shipping, you know, it's all about product, you know, throw a Facebook ad up, you know, that's where Jumper would come in. You know, you throw an ad up and you can buy. It's like the impulse, kind of like the Amazon kind of thing. But then if you want to create and nurture that relationship, like you were talking about, it's about, you know, think about, I guess, the product and what goes around that product, you know? So if you've got a basting brush, maybe you talk about, like I said, chicken recipes or whatever that might be, kind of thing like that. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, so some changes are coming down the way, this page level subscription type of thing from, you know, that and most people don't even know about it. You talk to people, like, what is that?
People were freaking out at the beginning of the year. Do it immediately, but then realize they can wait until the end of the year. So I think then everyone forgot about it.
Yeah. So I think everybody's kind of forgot. Can you kind of go through kind of what this is going to do and how big of a change it might be for some people on this level?
Yeah, I think the event / transition will be similar to the bot pause that we experienced at the beginning of the year. Right, we had a lot of people freaking out, saying, oh, I'm not going to do bots anymore. And at the same time, it is important to just have that proactive outlook that yes, Facebook could shut down all of this like at any given point,
right.
but the fact that conversational interfaces are here to stay is very real. And so even just jumping in and taking advantage of Facebook Messenger, even if, say, Facebook closed down the platform next month, which is very unlikely, but nonetheless, having experience with the conversation then leads you to be able to transfer that over to any other channel, which I'm sure everyone will start to expand to in the coming years. So to answer your question about the, you know, effect of this, I think the best thing it will do will get rid of spammy people on the platform. There are a lot of bots that don't follow the rules about when to sell, which, you know, is the 24-hour plus one rule. You've got people who are just sending all sorts of crap every day to people. And now, actually, Messenger has made it a lot easier to just turn off messages from someone without right. reporting their page. So that's good. And right. I believe that then removes you as a subscriber as well, or at least like blocks off you from getting those messages. So that definitely exists right now. But with those subscriptions, to kind of give a definition, and again, this may be outdated though, so I don't want to say like this is exactly what it will look like
right.
because
right.
Facebook may change this right before it launches. But pretty much what it will do is make any page have to apply to Facebook in order to send messages to its users that are non-promotional. That's an important right. part as well, because right. people are thinking, oh, it's just if I need to sell something. No, this is going to apply to everyone who wants to use the broadcast feature for their bot. So I'm not sure how many Chat Fuel, all those platforms will handle this yet, since they haven't
right.
publicly made an announcement.
Right.
But for the most part, I'm assuming that they will help facilitate that process inside of their platforms. And from there, really, I think it will be positive, so that way, at this point, there's like over 300,000 bots on Messenger. I'd right. say probably like 80% of them are crap. And so being able to actually vet who has access to the platform, the same way that people who are creating the platform natively have to do, right? Because I think that right now, anyone who goes on ChatFuel and ManyChat, they can easily publish a bot, you know, within sure. seconds. But people who are actually coding their bots have to wait weeks to yes. actually have it published. And so now I think there will be a little bit more equality to the actual quality of the bots on the platform now that this feature will be added. But it will cause a little bit of friction, I think, especially for client engagements, because now there will be a little bit more of a waiting time for actually launching a chatbot.
Right, right. And then there's people who have, you know, who were able to send automated messages right away will now have to apply. So it could take 2 to 4 months, you know, who knows how long. And so they're, again, I think it all comes down to really getting your people in control and like getting that yeah. email address, because email is still going to be an important factor.
Yes,
you have to own your customer, right? And with Facebook, and you know, if you're selling on Amazon, or you don't own your customer, Twitter, any right. of these things. So if you don't control that, I think this is exactly what could happen. So it's very important
right,
on that side of things. So cool, awesome. Well, that and so what do you see in trends coming, like, you know, the top things that you see coming down the pike in, you know, 24 months, 18 months, things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in terms of chatbots, we will see a lot more of VR and AR like effects happening. So right after this year's F8, a lot of companies like Sephora launched their face filters inside of Messenger. And if you guys want to try something like that, you can actually use Cloudinary to do that, although it is a little bit more of a technical platform, but nonetheless, you can use it to create face filters, you know, for your chatbot, so that right inside a Messenger, you just click on the camera and boom, your filters now are available for people to take pictures with.
Oh, wow, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, that's something that I see growing a lot more just because people love that stuff. That's why people use Snapchat mainly now. It's funny because everyone hated Snapchat after the update they made this year, or was it last year? I don't remember exactly what it was.
Year,
they changed. Okay, time has been flying.
So the
filters that they have now, I think a lot more people use Instagram for their stories, just because more people are there. But I still use the Snapchat filters and then save that picture and upload it into Instagram. So these filters are definitely still loved by many. And I think that Instagram and Facebook will make a very good move if they can improve theirs and add more. And goes the same way for bots. So I think that'll be something that definitely increases and is made more readily available to, you know, small businesses as well. Because right now it's just only enterprises really who have added that.
Right.
Katy Perry also is an example of that. There's a couple different ways, right? There's like the face filter, and then there's also like, here, take a picture, and then I will add something on to that picture. So a couple ways to do that, but definitely I see that becoming more prominent. The addition of voice, for sure, not only on Alexa and Google Home, although I think that, you know, adoption for that has been crazy and will continue to grow, but the connection of chat to voice, I think, will improve a lot more, whether it's that Facebook Messenger somehow links up to Alexa, or that you can use the voice feature on your iPhone, you know, to actually connect to Messenger and send chatbots a message and have the chatbot somehow process that and respond to you. So whatever that looks like, definitely the addition of voice and chat mixed together, I think, will increase a lot. And what else? I think those are probably the two biggest things I'm thinking about right now. But I think in 24 months, a lot more will happen. I think that'll just happen within the next, you know, by the end of the year, really. That'll increase.
Right. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Natasha, that's awesome. I mean, learned a ton. Really, some really killer information. So, if people want to connect with you and learn more, need your agency, things like that, see you in your speaking on your tour around the world, the 4-hour work week lady. what's the best place channel to reach out to you and connect?
Yeah. So, with me personally, I think I'm the most active on my personal Facebook. So you guys can find me there if you either go to facebook.com/NatashaTakahashi.personal, or you can just look up Natasha Takahashi in Facebook. And LinkedIn, of course, I do post a lot there as well. And for School of Bots, if you guys want to get access to all of our free resources, we have a couple free courses. We have a lot of stuff. Our interview show, we actually had Andrew on a couple of weeks ago, so you guys can go watch that as well. all of that's available inside of our Facebook group. So if you just look up School of Bots in Facebook, you will see our group link, or you can just go to our site, and literally everything we do is there as well. And it's just schoolofbots.co.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great resource. If you guys haven't checked it out, totally check it out. Natasha gives, you know, is great content, and she is, I mean, I don't know if you sleep or not, but you're always like, when I message you, like, hey, I got a question, and boom, you got me an answer or something. It's awesome. So she's really very active in that. Exactly. So it's awesome. Well, hey, I really, you know, I know it's you're busy, got a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to take much more of your time, but I do appreciate you coming on, and people need to reach out. You got all that information, and yeah, it was awesome. And I look forward to seeing you at the chat conference.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks so much for inviting me, and thanks so much for watching, guys. If you guys have any questions, or if I can help you guys in any way, feel free to reach out and definitely join our community as well. Andrew's pretty active in there too, so you'll definitely see him in there.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome. Bye.